CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Watching the Caspian Sea Basin, I have visited several times in the past on the Azerbaijan side, the western side of the basin. We're looking at energy richness for the 21st century. What is to be done for the stands, the former parts of the Soviet Empire, to work together? And that, I learned from Kamran Bokhari of New Lines Institute, is what's at hand. Kamran is the Senior Director of Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio for the New Lines Institute, writing most recently at Geopolitical Futures about a meeting that took place earlier in April between the President of Kazakhstan, a vast territory with not so many people, and Azerbaijan, a small territory with lots of people. However, they both share the Caspian Sea Basin, and the plans for the future involve pipelines to Europe, agreements between them, and President Aliyev and President Tokayev have come to one. Kamran, a very good evening to you. The changes in Central Europe, to my knowledge, are profound. They all want Amazon, they want highways, they want growth. Right now, they've got energy, and they're taking that energy to leverage their futures. Do you regard this meeting between Tokayev and Aliyev as a breakthrough? Is this a turn of the page? Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me again, John. Yes, I think that this summit-level meeting is noteworthy, but I think it comes in the context of new opportunities. And opportunities created by conflict, by war, and two wars in specifically here. You have the Nagorno-Karabakh War of 2020, which reshaped the landscape in the favor of Azerbaijan in the South Caucasus, the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia over Nagorno-Karabakh. So that's one conflict. And then the other conflict is the one that's ongoing, which is Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And that has created conditions for countries like Kazakhstan to see opportunity, even as it's challenged by everything that's happening to Russia and its fallout on Kazakhstan. So you have two countries both looking at war and saying, you know, there's an opportunity here that has been presented to them, and they can use that opportunity to establish a connectivity over the Caspian Sea for trade and energy purposes. And so that's sort of the gist of my argument here. But I also go in, and we can talk about it, the challenges that they face ahead, because this is a Herculean task. It's not going to be easy, even as the opportunity has become ripe.
We begin with Azerbaijan, capital in Baku, led by the Aliyevs, President Aliyev and his wife. The prosperity in Baku is obvious when you visit it. Much of the country, however, has the remains of the Soviet Empire, which was not prosperous to look at it. But they do have the oil and gas, especially the natural gas of the Caspian Sea Basin. And one more thing you mentioned, Sangachal. Sangachal is the terminal that connects Caspian Sea oil and gas to Europe, across the south of Europe to Italy, all the way to Italy. That changed everybody's opinion of the Caspian Sea Basin. Has that changed the opinion of Azerbaijan and Europe to your measure, Kamran?
I think so. I mean, we already saw Baku under President Aliyev's regime basically taking chances. And this is way before Ukraine war. The fact that, you know, and of course, supported by Turkey in military and intelligence terms, the war of Nagorno-Karabakh of the, you know, the fall of 2020, and which culminated in Azerbaijan retaking a lot of territory from Armenia, did really show that Azerbaijan isn't as worried about Russian reaction because Russia is so preoccupied. So we've seen that, and this was prior to the Ukraine war. Now, after the Ukraine war, that confidence has only gone up on the part of Baku. And they're seeing this opportunity to say, okay, you know, we can establish trade and energy corridors linking the Trans-Caspian region through Turkey with Europe. And so this is something that could not be, imagined only a few years ago by Azerbaijan because Russian influence was so heavy in this area. as Russian influence is receding, that is giving Azerbaijan the confidence to take these kind of risks and go out and venture. Because essentially what you're doing is you are undermining Russian monopoly over the energy and trade routes by saying we can establish one that does not go through Russian territory.
The connection to Kazakhstan is a pipeline that can flow underneath the Caspian to Sangachar, which is the pumping station all the way to Italy. And everyone now can see that alternative sources of natural gas, and the Caspian Sea has a lot of natural gas. So does Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan. They have a lot to sell. That established corridor means that the Russian energy is no longer missed in the future. This is a transition period. Let's go to Kazakhstan, vast country. I visited there under the previous regime. Now it's a new president, Tokayev. And Tokayev has challenges that are not obvious. A great number of young men, I'm told, and their friends have fled to Astana, the capital, sometimes called Nur-Sultan in the north. There was that bumpy patch where the Russian special forces arrived in Astana and other cities to quell disruption of, I believe the complaint was about gasoline prices, I'm never sure, 2 years ago. Right now, do you measure that Kazakhstan is stable and protected from Russia, or is it a possible target in the future to recover the empire?
Well, I don't think that there's any recovery that will happen, because in order for there to be a recovery, Russia needs to be strong. And the situation is quite to the contrary. Russia is weakening. And the questions that are being debated now is, what will Russia and the Russian Federation look like in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? So, will the Kremlin's writ in its near abroad shrink even further? And what does that mean for the stability of Russia? So at a time like that, I don't think, you know, recovering the empire is on their mind. I think what's on their mind is holding on to their influence that, you know, is slipping from their own hands. And from Kazakhstan's point of view, this is both an opportunity and a threat, because you share such a long border with Russia, the second longest in the world. You have 20% of your population on that, you know, straddled along that border that's ethnically Russian. And so if you're Kazakhstan, you don't want to upset Russia. But at the same time, you have to plan for the future. And planning for the future is saying, I don't want to be so dependent on a Russia that's weakening to export my oil. And I need alternative routes. Even as we speak, they are shipping oil, not very large amounts, but they've begun to use the tanker facility. They don't have a pipeline. They're using tankers to export oil to Azerbaijan to be then routed through the BTC pipeline onto the international markets. But eventually, they want to build a pipeline, so because obviously that's far more efficient. But then there's this broader Trans-Caspian trade corridor that they want to develop as well, which will include rail connections, and other forms of shipments of other commodities, not just oil, via sea, and traversing through the Caspian Sea, again bypassing Russia. So again, this is a difficult moment for Kazakhstan, but by all indicators, it's not shying away from the opportunity. It is moving forward.
Turkey. I ask about Turkey because we went past its relationship with Azerbaijan during the Armenia conflict of 2020. Does Turkey gain by these arrangements between Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan, or in the future between Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan? Is that a plus for Ankara?
Absolutely. I mean, Turkey would like to be that energy transit state that links this Trans-Caspian region's natural resources with Europe, and you know, that ambition to be an energy transit state. But at the same time, Turkey sees itself as a rising power in this region as the Russian footprint recedes. And of course, also the Black Sea basin. So, from Turkey's point of view, it wants to be sort of that leader of the PAK, and hence the Union of Turkic States, or that block that Turkey has created, in which you have Kazakhstan, you have Azerbaijan, you have Uzbekistan, you have Kyrgyzstan, you have Turkmenistan, and even Hungary, which is not a Turkic state. So Turkey sees itself as a big beneficiary of all of this.
Kamran Balkari is the Senior Director of Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio at the New Lines Institute, as well as writing at Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.